baseball fans across the country are gearing up for this year's playoffs and the World Series at the end of October, but halfway across the world in Manipur, India's troubled northeastern state, America's favorite pastime is being played for very different stakes. In her documentary, The Only Real Game, director Meera Bank reveals just how baseball arrived in Manipur, a place stricken by violence, drugs, poverty, and corruption. Why the game became so popular among Manipuri men and women, and why Major League Baseball has taken an interest in this region. The film is available for download today and will be available on Netflix on October 22nd. And I'm very pleased that it brings Meera Bank to our show today. Hi.
Pleasure to be here.
So, how is it that in this one corner of India, cricket mad India, the sport of baseball has become so popular?
I wouldn't say that anyone really knows the complete answer to that mystery, but a very interesting answer is the fact that American servicemen were there during the Second World War, and when they were not in the air because they were flying unarmed cargo flights into China to assist the Allies there because the Japanese had cut off the Burma Road. So American troops, when they're not fighting or flying, they play baseball.
They're carrying around mitts and bats and everything.
In some cases, in a few cases, they had actual equipment. But one of the charming, wonderful, really moving parts of the story is that they would also take a flight glove and fill it with sand and use that as a ball. And they'd play in combat boots and undershorts, and they would make do with whatever they had to play the game. And local people, because their bases were, you know, among, you know, all of the people who lived there, would follow the game, watch the game. And in some cases, and we have some footage of this, the kids would get involved. And, of course, the American combat people, our soldiers, love nothing better than to show these kids how to play the game.
And you said it's in the documentary, you say it's almost part of their motivation for clearing a field to make a runway is also to have suddenly a place to play, right?
We have it on good authority that these makeshift airstrips were often used for playing fields. And even in one case, one of our marvelous veterans, Smitty, Theron Smith, talked about the fact that the British airfields were much better. They were, you know, already paved over and, you know, had a real playing surface, and that they would use those as well.
So the Americans, the war comes and goes, the Americans leave, and yet somehow baseball sticks around.
Baseball kind of surfaced and went under and surfaced and went under over time, but never really went away. And then in the 1980s, some of the sports trainers in Manipur spent time in Delhi. And in the American Embassy in Delhi is probably the only really well-kept, dedicated ball field in a very large area within India. And these both men and women trainers who had been in Delhi came back and sort of reinvigorated the game. And by the time a wonderful group in New York called First Pitch, by the time they got together and convinced Major League Baseball to try again to send real coaches, authorized coaches, to bring terrific first-rate training to Manipur, there was a rather large group of people who were playing again. There were something like 12 leagues, 10 to 12 leagues, four of which were women. And as you discover in the film and in some of the things I've said about the film, one of the wonderful surprises of making the film was how important, what an engine for baseball women are in Manipur. They're certainly among the best players and arguably the most motivated coaches. They're just fabulous.
Did you pick up on a much stronger sense of sort of gender equality in the Manipuri culture?
That's a complicated question, and you may know more about these issues.
I've never been to Manipur. It's very far removed from anywhere I've been in India, so this is why it's especially fascinating.
In certain areas, women have great autonomy. The women's market in Manipur is famous for the degree to which women control the means of production and also the profits that come from these markets. They grow the food, they weave the cloth, They gather the goods, they sell them, and they take home the money. And in a certain way, this gives them a kind of authority, and it comes from historically a tradition in which Manipuri men, it was a warrior culture, were required to spend time in the king's court. And when they were not at home, women were both the protectors of the home and the keepers of the hearth. So there's almost a kind of fearlessness, let's say, among Manipuri women. It's a very beautiful thing to see, and they are extremely resourceful in their forms of nonviolent resistance to the occupation, as they see it, in Manipur. On the other side, they're also very, very vulnerable in terms of poverty, rape, being victims of domestic abuse, and all of the other kinds of harm that women in many cultures are subject to. So they are, it's a very unusual situation in which they have authority in a certain area but are not really protected in other ways in the culture.
So it's a highly militarized area, correct?
The region is considered a disturbed area and is occupied both by forces of the Indian Army, but also by state armed group, authorized state armed groups. The Manipuri Rifles, the Assam Rifles, these are something like state militia groups that are called in at various times to also add to security when there are volatile situations, and they occur frequently.
I'm Arun Venugopal, sitting in for Leonard Lopez today, and I'm speaking with Meera Bank, whose documentary, The Only Real Game, is available starting today. Meera, give me a better sense about this, I guess, the social conditions. One thing I think that's curious about seeing baseball take root in a part of India where otherwise nobody ever talks about baseball is wondering whether, do Manipuris consider themselves integrated into India? Do they see themselves as separate from India?
In no way do I consider myself an expert, but I will certainly speak to what my personal experience with Manipuris has been. And the answer to that is they don't see themselves as being treated equally, and they feel that they don't receive either legally the same protections nor financially the same opportunities. And the fact that they're in an area that for decades has been essentially occupied by the military, it makes them objects of kind of concern to other people when they are in places like Mumbai or Delhi or they have jobs elsewhere. They're kind of given a second glance, and in their estimation, they're treated as somewhat second-class citizens. It's almost, in their view, a kind of apartheid situation.
Well, there's certainly very common stereotypes that are sort of leveled at people from Northeast India in terms of, say, the women are fast or loose or that kind of a thing. And I'm wondering if you picked up on those kinds of things, and do they feel a sense of otherness?
I think that they feel, yes, that they are misjudged and not understood in other parts of India. And I really have to say that when we brought our film back to Manipur, which was a thrill, we were at the Mumbai Film Festival, and then there were screenings elsewhere in India and several screenings in Manipur. People were overjoyed that the world was seeing them this way in The Only Real Game, as opposed to the way they're generally, in their view, the way that they're generally seen in India. And I think that's because the film shows them as people who are hugely talented athletically, who have a rich culture with dance and martial arts and art and, you know, a long and complex religious tradition. And their sense of it is that that's who they are. And I'm not downplaying the problems, because there are many ways in which the problems in Manipur are self-inflicted, in the sense that there are, you know, there's discord between ethnic groups there and geographically within Manipur, the hill people and the valley people. You may know something about this. So there's a lot of internal discord. But one thing I think all Manipuris feel is that they're proud to be Manipuri.
Did you have Did people express concerns about giving interviews given the various groups that are warring over Manipur?
The people who chose to be open with us, and they were wonderful and made themselves fully available, wanted the story told. Those people who didn't want to speak with us didn't, and certainly my sense overall was that people were eager to both be seen and heard.
There is, I guess, a window of opportunity for some of them in your documentary about whether baseball is going to become their way up, their way out of their situation. Give us some sense of that. I mean, what kind of scope is there? Major League Baseball, I guess, officials are coming there, coaches are being, you know, flown over to Manipur from America.
I wish it were something that were happening consistently. I have to say that the two coaches who came with us on these several trips, Jeff Brueggemann and David Pelosi, who work with Major League Baseball International in an envoy program that MLBI has had for a long time, those coaches were superb. And you can see in the film, they just make a fabulous connection with people of all ages and backgrounds in the, you know, who chose to be involved in the baseball program. That said, it is daunting to have programs like this happen on a regular basis in Manipur because of the complexity of getting clearances to go there and the complexity of housing and organization once you get there. The security needs, as far as Manipur is concerned, and as far as the officials on both sides are concerned, that people need to have security when they're there. And so without, I think, more relaxation of the restrictions and without more of an ongoing base in Manipur, it's still going to be sporadic for the time being. But when we went back in 2014, I guess it was, the same groups were still playing. They still had their neighborhood leagues. They still love the game. And they still, have a kind of fierce ownership of an identity in a way that's special through their gifts and their talents in the game of baseball.
Do they watch American teams? Do they follow it on TV somehow or online?
When they can get things online, yeah. Sometimes what they're watching isn't live baseball from the United States, but it will be. They can pick up, archived things on ESPN and other internet sources where they can watch. And they consider themselves pretty up to date, I think, about the great American game. On the other hand, I think they take pride in playing it their way. And Manipuris will be the first to tell you that they feel that they themselves, in their ball and bat culture, which goes back a long time, invented something that was very like baseball long before baseball existed. So it's, in a way, it's something that they want to embrace in terms of our Major League Baseball standards, but they also want to play it the way they play.
I mean, where are they getting their supplies from?
A lot of things come in from flea markets and secondhand sources. There's contraband that shows up. Huh. People who go to Delhi and
the black
other
market
places.
For baseball goods.
Absolutely.
Wow. Do you see this as Manipur seen by Major League Baseball as, potential sort of like expansion of, American baseball on the global stage? Or is it much more of sort of a, I guess, charitable sort of approach?
I think, first of all, just about the baseball equipment, I do want to say that we were enormously fortunate. Spalding was tremendously generous. Spalding Baseball sent over, hundreds and hundreds of mitts and balls. And so things do come in legally, but there is, all over India, there are ways to get things, from other sources. And,
sure.
And people are always on the lookout for uniforms and things. I think Major League Baseball is always looking for opportunities to expand the game. And until this program, they had a really hard time with India. Just organizationally, I think India, can be daunting. And one of the things that First Pitch, which was founded by Muriel Peters and still has an active group here in New York, one of the things that First Pitch was able to do was to have a setup ready and in place when the coaches arrived to do this coaching. And they were able, as you see in the film, to work with hundreds of people. It was really a first for Major League Baseball. So I think that door is open, but I don't think that Major League Baseball right now is focused on India as a place where, at least where the coaching program is going to exponentially expand. On the other hand, they're not uninterested because it's a country with, you know, upwards of 250 million people who are middle class, upper middle class, who travel, many of whom study here. They speak English. They already are very talented in ball and bat sports. And their children, in many cases, have an interest in the game or would potentially be interested in playing the game.
Are there baseball stars that they worship over here?
Did you hear that? Yeah, most of the kids that we met in Manipur were aware of the Yankees. They knew about the Yankees. So at that time, it was people like Derek Jeter. And, you know, that was their the kind of gold standard, I guess, at that point was the Yankees organization.
But not, they're not following A-Rod's personal problems and steroid issues.
Not as far as I know. No, not as far as I know. They're very focused on their own life and their own culture, I think in a healthy way. The people who play sports tend to be people who are not involved in the drug culture or the smuggling culture. They're people who are physically fit and take care of themselves. And that's a big, you know, that's a big goal for Manipuri mothers, you know, is to have children be involved in these sports as a way of keeping them strong and healthy and on a good path. And there's a lot of desire among people in Manipur to find ways for their children to excel and, you know, frankly, to find paths out of Manipur.
I've been speaking with Meera Bank, whose documentary The Only Real Game is available starting today on DVD, VOD, and all direct purchase platforms. Meera, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. It was great.